Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Is that better?
Yep.
Amazing. Well, good morning. My friend Daniel must be sleeping in. So my lovely wife, Melody, is here to sing with me today. And I don't know about you, but woke up this morning a little more tired. You know, we made it to Thursday, sitting in classes day after day. I've grown a little weary, but you know what? The best, I believe, is still yet to come. I'm super excited. I read an article by Pastor Angel Rodriguez in Ministry Mag, I think it was, a month or two ago. And the stories that this guy has to share, I am super stoked to hear today. And Elder Tim has some awesome things planned as well, so I'm excited. Joel 2:28. First, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we come before your presence so grateful, humbled, and honored that we can come before the King of the universe and sing praises to you. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Thank you that in you we live and move and have our being. Thank you for the breath that you place in our lungs so that we can sing to you. And be with us as we read the scripture now and help us to understand it. And Lord, help us to be the recipients of the promise. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. How many of you believe that that promise is relevant to you today? It's relevant to the last days of Earth's history. That's what we're going to be singing about right now. This is an oldie. Days of Elijah. So get ready. Let's all stand up and sing Days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, this year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. These are the days of the heart.
That's now for Mountain View.
The hills are as wide in your word. Still we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, this year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation.
All right, feel free to clap and put your hands together. Here we go.
Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill.
Amen. Take a seat. Praise God. That's the reality we have to look forward to. Woo! Just imagine coming in the clouds, the trumpet sound, the great heavenly alarm clock, rising our dead from their sleep. What a glorious day that would be. But there's a world out there that needs to hear it. Sometimes it's a little scary, is it not, to share our faith? Sometimes when God puts on our heart that we need to go share that glow track with someone at the gas station next to the pump next to us, we're feeling a little timid. We're feeling a little scared. I have a reminder for you today, and it's a reminder for me every day. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. That's what we're going to sing about next. Fear comes from who? The enemy of souls. But the Lord gives us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. If God is for us, then who could be against us? So let's sing this awesome song. I love it. Whom shall I fear? God of angel armies.
Hear me when I call, you are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory.
Hey,
whom shall I fear? Shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hand. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful.
Sing over time.
And nothing formed against me shall stand. The whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies.
one more time.
I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Thank you, Lord, for that promise. Lord, the angel armies are on our side. You have a work that you're wanting to do here in Mountain View. You've already started it. The spark has been lit. The evidence is here. And we're so grateful for what you're about to do, even after this week. Lord, we dedicate this day into your hands. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Keep us awake and alert for the messages that you have for us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Who's been blessed? Already this morning, amen. All right, today we're going to have a special message from Pastor D.W. I have been enjoying these morning worships. How about you guys?
Yes.
All right, well, let's have prayer for our brother. You ready?
Yeah, let's pray.
You sure? Mm-hmm. All right, let's do this. Father God, Lord, thank you for D.W. Thank you for choosing to use him. And Lord, right now, we want to praise you for him answering your call and the word that he is going to deliver from you this morning. Please, Father God, bless us as we go throughout this day and open our hearts for the things we are about to learn today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And we're only halfway through our worships. You realize that? Because this is a six-part series, and today is just the fourth part. So we still have part five in the morning and part six tomorrow morning as well. So we may only have another day together and a half day tomorrow, but we still have three more messages from the Lord. Amen? And many more presentations. Before I pray, today's theme is called Being Equipped for Battle. Being equipped for battle. And this is Tell Somebody About Jesus, part four. Being equipped for battle. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we stand here ready to do battle, but we need your Holy Spirit. We cannot do it alone, and we cannot do it on our own. Father, show us the way that you want us to go according to your will. And help us to tell others about Jesus Christ. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. And I pray that you will speak through me, Father. And I will only speak your words. Hide me behind the cross so that we will only hear and see Jesus today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk about being equipped for battle this morning. Because a lot of times in our lives, we can be nervous or anxious, right? Do all of you feel like you are equipped and ready to go out and knock on doors yet?
Yes.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
Are you anxious?
Yes.
Well, that's a normal human feeling, isn't it? And that's why we have to empty ourselves, amen? Because as we empty ourselves and we're filled up with the Holy Spirit, something amazing happens. So this morning I want to talk about being equipped for battle. And we all know this story. In fact, it comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17. And it's a story about David. So let's just jump right into the scene where Goliath and the Philistines and the children of Israel. In fact, his father actually sends him to bring bread to his brothers. When David gets to the battlefield, he sees his brothers are sidelined and they are a little bit afraid. And he thought that he would find them in battle, but there they are on the sideline. And we see here, In 1 Samuel 17 and 26, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" You see, David was very upset and beside himself when he got there. In fact, he was asking, why were the Israelites sitting in fear while Goliath is saying these nasty things about the Israelites and about God? So here David is talking to the soldiers, and this young man is asking why they are on the sideline. And Eliab comes, and he was angry in verse 28. Let's go to verse 27 first. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." In verse 28, the word of God says, "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, 'Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those sheep in the wilderness? And I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see this battle.'" You see, he thought David was just being nosy, coming down to see the battle. And he asked him who was taking care of the sheep and that David was supposed to be watching. But my question is, why was Eliab so mad? Well, I believe he should have felt the same way David felt, but Eliab was afraid because it was tough taking down the giant. Mercy, huh? So instead of worrying about his problem, his own problem, what does he do? He concentrates on David's problem. So he jumps onto David for doing what David said they should be doing. So he tells him to take it out on Goliath. Amen? He tells him, "You have a proud heart," and he calls David out. And David here, he is asking, "Why are you jumping on me when Goliath is calling us all out and nobody is saying a word?" How often do we get called out and we stay in silence, but the Holy Spirit is telling us to speak? You see, here I am saying something, and you have a problem with it, right? This is having a giant killer's mentality. First of all, David's brothers did not even believe in him. They got mad at him, and I'm telling you this morning, before you ever step out to do something for God, don't think you are going to get a pat on the back from the church. Because you're not. There is always going to be somebody challenging you and telling you that it cannot be done. And that it shouldn't be done. And that you don't know because you are too inexperienced. You see, we've been doing this for years. Who are you to come in and tell us how to do our job, David? Right? How to pastor a church, how to do Bible work, how to plant a church when we have years in the ministry and you're just some young guy like David or maybe even Pastor DW, right? Or maybe you're the new old guy like myself, 36 years old. Maybe I'm not old, but I am older than some of the pastors here in the Mountain View Conference, right? But does age matter? Does our age on this earth matter, or does our spirituality age matter? You see, we have to surrender to the Holy Spirit. And we've been talking about this for days. How can anybody go out and tell somebody about Jesus if you don't have the Spirit? If you're not emptying yourself every day, then you can't go out and tell anybody about Jesus. Because what do? We reproduce what we are. And the devil will use that against us. You see, sometimes those around us won't believe in us, and they tell us it can't be done, and we are crazy. Has anybody been told that? Sometimes it comes from your own family. So the brothers, they didn't believe in David, did they? In fact, in verse 33, Saul hears about David, and he's excited about this. So he goes ahead and he says, I want to see David. Saul gets excited because somebody's ready to take on this giant, right? So in verse 33, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight for him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Mercy. So he is saying, I admire your courage, but you are just this young guy trying to challenge a man of war who is bigger than you, better than you, and has been doing it longer than you. So the king, his brothers, and nobody believes in David. So he begins to tell the king his resume. In verses 34, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. You see, that is a giant killer's mentality. You see, he is saying, I am not afraid of a giant because I have a resume. Now Saul, he says, yeah, you've killed animals, but you have never killed a giant before. You see, this is a different animal altogether, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Because an experienced soldier of war, Goliath, and this is what David says in verse 36. Well, we'll go to 35 first. Well, 36 here. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Amen? And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Amen? Now let's look at David at this point and what he said. This is a mentality of a giant killer. Here is Saul telling him, you're too young, you're too small, you can't do it. But he's excited because here's somebody who actually is ready to go up against the giant. Right? So he says, okay, you want to go ahead and do it? And we see the mentality of being a giant killer is not about what you can do. It's not about what your power can do or what it can deliver or what your experience can do for you. It's not about the resources we have. It's about your belief in what God can do. You see, God says, if you believe it, I will achieve it. You see, and that is having a giant killing mentality. And it is built around your belief in what God can do and not what we can do. So Saul finally gives in, but he says, at least let me put this armor on you. Let me put my armor on you, David, so you at least look like a soldier. And if you get taken out, you'll die looking like a soldier. What I want to share this morning is a giant killing mentality is built around your belief in God and your belief in what He can do. I'll go ahead and say amen for you. You see, if you believe that God says you can do anything, we don't need to look at the lack of experience or resources that we have. We just need to turn to Jesus. We need to get on our knees and we need to pray for the resources. We need to pray for the money. We need to pray for the Bible workers. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us. And this is a giant killer's mentality. You see, the king and his brothers looked at the outward appearance, but God looks at our inward appearance. And David, he looked at his experience, and when his brothers should have been the ones taking the giants on, but sometimes when you've been around for a very long time, you learn how strong the giant is, and you forget how strong God is. Mercy. You see, I started as a lay person. I was helping out over at the school and became a youth pastor at Parkersburg. And then I got called to Point Pleasant. And really, they sent me down there because I didn't have any sense. I didn't know any better, that it could not be done. Amen, Victor? Come on, you know it. I had no sense. And we didn't have enough sense to know that it could actually be done, you know? Right? So they sent me down there. And I asked God, the first time we did evangelism, to give me 50 to 100. He gave us about 10. You see, sometimes we are out in a place where we can do no harm. We have just a couple members, so there's really nobody for me to run out of the church. Amen? Now stay with me here. Are you following me? Pavel Goya, are you following me? Huh? Amen? You see, no resources, little experience. Stay with me here. Let's see what God can do with just a little bit of investment, and let's see what God can really do. That's the mentality we need. That is a giant killing mentality. No resources, little experience, but I believed God could do it. Victor believed God could do it. I asked for 50, but God gave me what I could actually handle. And if I would have had 50 people, I would have been killing myself going out and visiting them 5 times a week, because the 10 people who were coming, or the 5 people who were coming, I would have to talk on the phone every day to. I would have to go and visit them every day, and you would have to go see them on Sabbath just to get them to show up to church. You were building a relationship. Amen? Remember when we were talking about friendships? This is why they are so important, because people aren't going to come to your church if they don't trust you, if they don't have a relationship with you. After a few months, I didn't have to visit that much. Even though I was making it home at like 11 at night, I knew that I had to go every day to visit these people. If we were ever going to grow this church, I had to be present. So God knew I would have just killed myself if I had more than those people. And now our membership went from 28 to 50. Amen? Amen. But you want to know why it worked? I'll tell you why it worked. Because I didn't have enough sense to know that I could not do it. That's why it worked. That it could not be done. You see, I was too crazy and inexperienced to know that it could not be done. And my prayer is, may God keep me that way. I pray God will keep me in a place that I don't have enough sense to truthfully believe that God can accomplish anything, because that God can do anything. I don't care what you are up against. I don't care how tough the city is or how stubborn the people are. I don't care what resources you don't have, but I pray in spite of me and in spite of the circumstances that God will keep me with no sense to believe that He can truly accomplish anything. Amen? Amen. In spite of the situation, may God keep us that way. And that is a real giant killer's mentality. It's almost crazy and it's almost foolish to believe God can do it anyway and anyhow, and it doesn't matter what you're up against. Goliath doesn't scare you. You're not afraid because circumstances can be overwhelming. You don't care about that, for God is on your side. And if God is for you, like Pastor Clayton said, then who can be against you? You see, God calls us to do stuff that doesn't make sense to anybody else. Did you know that? Especially Seventh-day Adventists. We worship on the Sabbath. How many Christians in the world worship on the true Sabbath? You see, God calls us to do stuff that doesn't make sense to anybody else. And it didn't make sense for Moses to cross the Red Sea. It didn't make sense for Joshua to cross the Jordan. And that is a giant killer's mentality. That is what God is calling each and every one of us to do today. And God calls us to do the things that are unthinkable and to reach heights we thought we could never reach. We have to come to a point to say, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death and I will fear no evil, and God will get me across that river. God will save me from the fiery furnace in the den of lions. Amen. And that is a giant killing mentality that we must have. God has called you to do what you think you cannot do. But I assure you, with His Holy Spirit, you can do it. For God has called you to be a lay Bible worker. And to be a lay Bible worker, you need a giant killer's mentality. Because you have this, you can do the things your brothers and Eliab and the others said you could not do. It's not because of you, it's because you put your faith in a God who gives us the promises that we can always count on. You see, the reason we don't accomplish great things is because we don't truly believe that God can do it. You know that? The reason we don't accomplish great things is we don't actually truly believe that God can do it. You see, God has called you to be a lay Bible worker, and to be a lay Bible worker, you need a giant killer's mentality. God says, if you can believe it, I will achieve it. And that is a giant killer's mentality. For no enemy can stand against you when you have a giant killer's mentality, because God will take you through anything that you are going through. You see, lay Bible workers in 2022, in this time we are in, God has called us to have a giant killing mentality. So we need to go and slay the giant. And you don't need any more than that stone because you got God. You don't need the armor. You don't need all the extra resources. You don't need the money. You just need to get on your knees and pray. That's all you need is God. We don't need anybody else but God. Amen. With God, all things are possible to him and her that believe. I'll say amen for you. Amen. Let's turn to Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Isaiah 6 and verse 8. We'll end here. And also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. You see, we need to have a giant killer's mentality if we are going to take what we've learned this week and say, I will go, send me. So, lay Bible workers, my question for you today is, are you going to change your mentality? Are you going to quit being afraid of the giant? And are you just going to ask the Holy Spirit and ask God to deliver you from the giant so you can have a giant killer's mentality? Amen? If you want to have a giant killer's mentality, then let's stand as we pray together as we go into battle this morning. Father in heaven, we stand here before your throne and we need your Holy Spirit, Father. We need your Holy Spirit more than anything in our lives so that we can understand that we don't have enough sense to do anything. But with your Holy Spirit, anything is possible. Father, we pray that you will put us in this honeymoon phase of ministry and keep us there. Father, I pray that you will give us a giant killer's mentality like David. Father, I pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit today as we go into each presentation. Hide Elder Tim and Pastor Angel behind the cross today as they speak your words. And Father, I pray that each Bible worker here will be encouraged and will have that fire that will never burn out. And they will say, I don't have enough sense to know that it can't be done. For if God is for us, who can be against us? We need to claim that promise, brothers and sisters. Father, we are claiming that promise right now, and we ask that you will guide each Bible worker here, that you will pour out your Holy Spirit into each pastor, Bible worker, and every single person here so that we can go out and say, send me, I will go, and I will go and tell somebody about Jesus. And then we're going to give you the glory, we're going to give you the honor and the praise. When we pray this all in Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.